Well, I hope that everyone, for those of you who were here last week, I hope that you know you were blessed and you were challenged. There was some clarity that came as far as, you know, as I said last week, we're talking about, this is Vision Sunday last week and this week. But last week, I just felt strongly, and it carries over to this week too, that we got to get down to the heart of all of this, that we have to get to our heart. We have to get beyond just things to do or certain formulas and things like that. And so we're really trying to just lean in and do some heart work here. And I think that, you know, if you missed that last week, please go back and check that out. Today will spring off of that. We will move forward. And so they will tie together. But if you weren't here last week, you'll still be able to follow along. And we basically last week we were looking at John chapter 4, and you know you can start turning there in your Bibles if you'd like. But I'll do a little bit of unpacking and recapping a little bit. And so, you know, I mentioned last week, and I brought to the forefront of our vision here at this church, what our vision statement is. And that vision statement is simply that we will be a church that is impacting communities by guiding people to a transforming relationship with Jesus Christ. We will be a church that is impacting communities by guiding people to a transforming relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's a lot going on there that was not just, you know, written in one day, but that we're going to be a church that's what, impacting communities, that we're having an effect. We are impacting communities. We are impacting the place and the people around us versus vice versa, right? We're not being impacted by culture. We're setting culture. We're the thermostats, not the thermometers, so to speak. And if you see there too, it's intentionally communities, meaning, you know, we're not talking about geographical community here. While that's part of it, we're talking about all of you and the communities that you live in. We want to see lives impacted through you. Do you know why? Because this building is not the church. You are the church. We are the church. And we're going to do that by guiding people. That idea of guiding, the comparison contrast between a travel guide and versus a tour guide, or a travel agent versus travel guide, right? Tour guide. Travel agents can show you the brochures, the pictures, they can give you all the information. The tour guide is the one that knows the ins and outs and will walk with you and show you. And that's what we're wanting to do here. We're wanting all of you, all of us, to be guiding people. You know, it's one thing to share the gospel, it's one thing, or even if somebody accepts the gospel, that's great, and that's a great moment of celebration, but if we just stop there, that we miss so much of really what we're called to do, because we're called to walk with people. And here's an even another layer to that is this, is that when we share the gospel, even if somebody doesn't respond, in that moment, there's an opportunity, and unfortunately, too many times, too many Christians are in too much of a hurry. And they're like, well, they're not going to receive it today, so I need to move on to the next person. Well, yes, that's true, but that person is also watching you and seeing, do you really care about me? Do you really love me to invest your time, even if I'm not responding in this moment? Too many people are kind of just, well, okay, get out of my way then. And so we need to love people. That's what we do. And so we journey, we guide people, we walk with them to what? A transforming relationship. And as I said last week, I'll say it again. The only way that we can guide somebody to that transforming relationship with Jesus Christ is that we are also in that transforming relationship, meaning we have been transformed when we came to know the Lord as our Savior, but it is also perpetual in that we are continually being transformed into the image of Christ. And so if we are not experiencing that transforming relationship with Jesus, then how will we ever be able to truly impact or guide someone else to a depth of relationship with God we do not know? We have to be tour guides. We have to be people that have experienced the goodness of God, that have experienced the presence of God, and that once we are secure and we know that, then we can walk with others. Why? Because we know where we're going. We know what it is. Our vision statement, and we're going to lean a little more into this transforming part in just a moment, kind of picking up from last week, but also our mission statement here is we will accomplish our vision by simply building bridges to Christ. And as I said last week, that's what you see in a lot of places, and that's twofold. One, you know, a lot of people see that, and it's fine. One sense is that, you know, we will equip you to help build those bridges to Christ, meaning, you know, having those conversations, how to share and some techniques and things, but more than that is you are the bridges. If you want to kind of take that word out and maybe plug in disciple or disciples, building disciples to Christ, meaning that we want to build you. You are the bridge. You are the one that carries from this room out into our communities. Building that bridge, talking about Jesus. And so last week we leaned in as well on this idea of knowing about God versus knowing God. You know, about kind of knowing the stats of somebody, a sports player, or knowing, you know, reading tabloids about, you know, some Hollywood actor, and you know them, but you really don't know them like you know the person sitting next to you. So we're called to know Jesus, know God, and that is what it's all about. So we walked through some of John chapter 4 last week, and that's the part where Jesus comes across the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And we discovered as he sat and he listened to her and he talked to her, there was a lot of stuff going on there because, again, Jews did not walk through Samaria. They would walk out of their way to go around it. They did not like the Samaritan people. There was this huge just division between the Samaritans and the Jews. And so the fact that Jesus walked through there, and it said actually he must go through there, he must go, and we unpacked that last week, but because there was a purpose and a mission, there was a reason that he was supposed to be there, and that woman, that moment was why he was supposed to be there. And he shared, and he told her, you know, if you knew who you were speaking to, you would ask for the gift that I have. You would ask for what I have, which was living water, as he said. And so we're going to, you know, and so he shares this, and his disciples had gone into town to get some things, and they're now on their way back, and we're gonna jump back in here in verse 27 of chapter 4 of John. But what you saw last week and you're going to see today, and you're seeing it all tied together really here as we look at Jesus, is what our values are at this church, right? What our values are. First one is love God and others. That's what are on the walls in this room. Love God and others. We see Jesus here. Again, he's doing the work of his Heavenly Father because he loves his Heavenly Father. But beyond that, he loves this woman, this woman who would be completely outcast by all, you know, physical sense, by what you would see. She'd been married multiple times. She's living with a man that's not her husband. And in that culture, I mean, that's why she's at the well by herself in the middle of the day. She was outcast. And so Jesus is showing his love, goes beyond just the people that are like him. He's loving somebody that's on the fringe. Our second value here is live life in relationship. We see throughout the scripture, throughout the New Testament and the Gospels, we see Jesus living life with his disciples. They're living life with him. They're living life in relationship. They're not just hanging out once a week. They're doing life together. We see here also, give it away. That's it. It's everything. It's give ourselves away. And we see Jesus offering this water that doesn't run dry, this living water. He's offering this person the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive. And lastly, in the back corner there, we go to the lost. And here Jesus is, again, should not have been traveling through that way, but he went because he knew he had to. And so he's going to that person, to the outcast, to the marginalized. And so I love this passage because it encapsulates really our values and everything, all the values, vision, all these things, it's all basically from Scripture. We just try to package it in a way that, you know, okay, this kind of focuses in. But we see this, and this is why we want to live it. Why? Because if we live out our values, we're living according to the Word of God. And so my prayer and my hope is that these words on the walls have not kind of slowly faded into the same color as the rest of the paint. Because we know that as over time, it's just like, oh yeah, that's just the normal. Those have been here for a while. Don't walk past these without pausing and just stopping and saying, you know, am I living this out this way? So John's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning at verse 27. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, I'm old school. I was raised in pews and under them. but the chair Bibles, you can turn there, but those are the Christian Standard version, so it'll be a little different. But I'm going to read from the New Living. And it says, "Just then his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, 'What do you want with her, or why are you talking to her?' The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone, 'Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?' So the people came streaming from the village to see him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for this morning and for this time. God, I just pray right now, Lord, that, God, you've already been at work. Your spirit is at work in this place, in our hearts. And so, God, we do just rest in this moment in your peace. And, God, we just pray, Lord, that you would truly meet us in this place this morning. God, as we, many of us, I'm sure, are watching the things happening in our country and the things that are unsettling to see and to know. And God, while those things are real, God, we also realize, Lord, that you are greater than those things. God, we are also, I pray that we're each reminded when we see those images, Lord God, that this world desperately needs you, that we cannot find peace, Lord, apart from you, even though so many are trying. And so, God, I thank you. I thank you for myself and for many in this room that have that peace that passes all understanding, that even when things seem to be falling apart, even when there are great concerns, Lord God, we know that we can have that peace in our hearts and that we can find rest in you because, God, you are always on the job. You are always watching. And, God, we truly trust you in that today. And so, God, I thank you just in these next few moments, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts in a way that changes us. In Jesus' name, amen. So my first point today is we see again this snapshot. Disciples coming back. He's finished this kind of dialogue with this woman. Now she's going into this village, into the town to share what she's seen and experienced. And my first point is this, is that truly knowing Jesus transforms us in how we see people. Truly knowing Jesus transforms us in how we see people. And so we're going to look at three responses that we see here. First, we see the disciples' response as they came back, and they were shocked to find Jesus speaking to a Samaritan woman. They're like, what is going on? Why would he talk to her? And in that response, we see exactly where they are. It shows that, you know, in their culture, there were deep cultural and religious divisions, and it really had shaped their thinking. That, well, you know, Jesus is ours, but Jesus here is demonstrating, no, he's here for everyone. And that's so important, I think, for us today, because Jesus is calling us to see past, oftentimes, the divide to the person who is created in the image of God. That person, you know, that maybe you don't like, you can't stand. Right? I'm sure somebody's coming to our minds right now, right? That person that never agrees with you, that seems just to be have it out for you, that God created that person in his image. And so to be reminded, and we see Jesus here, again, stepping through and across these boundaries that had been established. You see, Jesus in this moment is teaching his disciples to see as he sees. And that's one of the prayers that I try to pray myself when I'm in those moments, when I'm dealing with, you know, one of those people. We'll just label them as those people. Those people that can just get right up under our skin super fast. And I'll pause and to myself, while we're in that conversation, I'm like, Lord, give me the eyes, give me your eyes to see this person. Let me see what you see. Let me see the value in this person. And I'll tell you this, in my experience, is that more times than not, a lot of those people, what you see and what bothers you on the outside, even their maybe aggression towards you, it comes from a source of pain. You know, I think of that child story, and I don't remember all, I don't know if there was a name to it, but the I think it was the lion and the mouse, right? You guys remember that with the thorn? I know, I've been around a while too. I'm getting there. But it's such a great illustration, you know, because the mouse wants to help or can pull that thing out, but it's painful, right? And for so many people, there's something there that's this, it hurts. And so, again, I'm not saying we have to submit ourselves to all this, like, you know, verbal abuse and stuff like that, but just know what God is doing in that situation. Because he'll direct you, he'll lead you, he'll guide you. Is this something that needs to be shut down right now? Is this something that maybe I do need to kind of step out or remove myself from the situation? Or is this something where God can give you the eyes to see the pain behind what's being said? And so we see Jesus here again. He's demonstrating to the disciples how this looks and how this works. And so what is happening here with the disciples? One word, and that's transformation. They're being changed, and it's a process. And that's kind of what I started with and where I shared earlier. You know, this we cannot stop. We cannot stay stagnant in this transformation process. And it gets hard at times. You know, we can make some of those easier changes, but then there are deeper things that God wants to get to, and we have to submit ourselves to that, and we have to be willing to continue, but it's always worth it. So the disciples are continually being transformed as they walk with Jesus and watch his example. In James 2, verse 1, it says, "My brothers and sisters, do not show favoritism as you hold on to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ." When it comes to the gospel, that gospel message is for everyone. Never doubt that. Never doubt that. Second response we see here is the Samaritan woman's response. It's equally powerful. We see here that she leaves her water jar, and if you were here last week or if you get a chance to watch that, you know, time and time again, and I kept pointing it out, like she couldn't get past her physical thirst, her physical need when Jesus was offering her the living water. She was just having a hard time getting her head wrapped around, oh no, this is something much bigger, much deeper. This is spiritual. And so she finally got it. She left her water jar, what? To run back to the village to tell them about who she had come across. She laid down the thing that she had previously been so focused on. And so she runs, you know? That's a sermon in itself. She heard the good news. She heard about this living water, and what did she do? She's like, I got to tell people. She didn't wait for the next day. She didn't wait, you know, until it was a convenient time. She didn't even walk. I mean, this is the heat of the day. This is why no one else was at the well. And she chose to run. Why? Because something had changed in her. So she runs back and she invites others to encounter Jesus for themselves. And so what was happening to this Samaritan woman in this moment? Transformation. Transformation. You see, she had gone to the well that morning one way, and she left a different way. She did not go to that well looking for Jesus, but Jesus went to that well looking for her. And that is the beauty, and that's the heart of Jesus. Is he's looking. He's looking. And so many times we are the conduit. We can be the person, we can be the hands and feet of Jesus. We can be the one to put our arm around somebody that's hurting, that maybe doesn't know him, but they're hurting and they don't know where to turn. And it saddens my heart to think how many times I may have missed those opportunities because of my own agenda or my hasty judgment of the person that's standing across from me. She was transformed in that moment. Third response is the people's response. The people's response says they came streaming from the village. They came streaming from the village. Listen, they responded to the simple invitation of come and see. Come and see this person that I've met, this person that spoke to me. And remember this, church, remember this. They respond to a woman who was an outcast, who couldn't even join the other women to go to the well in the middle of the afternoon. They responded, the people responded to someone who had no voice at the start of that day. And now here they are responding to what she's saying. What happened in those people's lives that day? I think you know where we're going. Transformation. Transformation. The sun came up on that day just like any other day, and little did they know that the Messiah, the promised Messiah, Jesus, Son of God, was passing through their town. So understand this, that really knowing Jesus and following him has to produce transformation. If it is not producing transformation, then something is wrong. And it's not with him. Let's read on a little further. In verse 31, so now, again, the woman has run to the village. She's doing her thing. The people are starting to come out. And we pick back up in verse 31. It says, meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, listen, we don't just read through this stuff. Listen to what he says. But Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. So a few minutes ago, a little bit before that, he's offering a living water that somebody doesn't know about. Now he's, you know, with this woman, and now he's talking to his disciples, the ones that are hanging out with him, and he is now teaching. He says, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Now notice where the disciples' minds are. Did someone bring him food while we were gone? We were kind of chuckling with the Samaritan woman, right? She took her about four tries, right? She couldn't get her mind off of the physical water. And so here Jesus is talking. His disciples are saying, did someone bring him food? The disciples asked each other. And then Jesus explained, and here it comes. My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. My second point this morning is this: meaningful spiritual growth can only happen through obedience. So many in the church, so many of us, we hit these places and we can become complacent. We become just, we just start going through the motions. We become really good at saying the right things, but along the way, we've failed in doing the right things. And what do I mean by the right things? The things that God is calling us to. I'm not talking about robbing a bank or something like that. That's a bad thing. It's simply, no, like disobedience. If the Holy Spirit is prodding you, is nudging you to speak to that person in the grocery store or wherever that is, and we don't do it, do you know what that is? That's disobedience. But it's such a seemingly small thing that we step past it. We don't, you know, have any remorse over it. We don't ask for forgiveness for that. We just kind of step through it. That's not a big deal. But neither was stopping at a well on that day a big deal. You see, here we see, again, the disciples have more in common with the Samaritan woman than they realized, and that they were too overly focused on physical nourishment. You see, that's something of the flesh. Those are things of the flesh, right? Our flesh. There are fleshly desires that are bad, all right, that are out of balance. But there are other things that are simply just, you know, I'm assuming most of us like the heat that's working this morning in this building, right? Most of us like the fact that we probably walked outside, either outside or in our garage, got in our car and hit a button. I don't know if there's many turnkeys left, and our car started. And then we sat, and we just did this, and we drove to church. Those are comforts to our flesh, right? Those are comforts. Those are not necessities, though I know, you know, some might argue that. So not everything of the flesh is bad or evil or wrong. It's just understand that if it's out of balance or if that we focus too much on that, we can miss the things that are of the Spirit. And this kind of circles us back around to this idea of when we're saying, Lord, give us eyes to see. It's give us the eyes to see beyond our fleshly, physical, what we see here. Give us eyes to see the person. Give us eyes to see the part that is eternal in that person that God made. You see, this goes back to also, you know, in Matthew, Jesus, there's, I call them the three I give, or I'm sorry, not I give, but when you give, sorry, let me back up. The three when you statements, okay? Jesus makes statements. He says, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. When you pray, when you give, and when you fast. So when we pray, it wasn't if you pray, if you give, or if you fast, it's when. We are supposed to pray, amen? That's why we pray a lot. When you come to our service, we pray a lot because we're supposed to, right? When you give, it's as we do the three T's because it's just nice and easy, time, talent, treasure, right? When you give of your time, that's probably your most precious resource. When you give of your abilities, you volunteer. You know, there's volunteers downstairs with our children pouring into them. The future generation. We have volunteers as you walk in. We have people that were here early to turn the lights on, to make sure all the sound and everything's good. We have that. Our time, our talent, and then, you know, our treasure. That's why we have, you know, offering. That's why you give to this church and what we do here. We're not trying to take your money from you, because actually, can I just be honest with you? It's not your money. Because God put the air in your lungs. You have the abilities you have because the Lord has permitted that and given those to you. And so you steward those. And so that's why we give. We give as an act of worship. And so, again, understand when you give, when you pray, when you fast. Fasting is another part of this. So I'd encourage you all, you know, to consider that. This month is a good month as you start your year. You know, and if you need to know more about that, I'd be happy. Myself, Pastor Santiago, Pastor Rob, any a lot of people in here could probably help you if you have questions on fasting. But give yourself to the Lord. If it's a meal, if it's a day, if it's a week, if it's a month, whatever that is, whatever that looks like, give yourself to that, to fasting. And those have to all function together. Why? Because all those things are what put our flesh down. Right? They put our flesh down, and for me, particularly the fasting part, I like eating. My flesh loves it, especially good food. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I would encourage us to consider these things. And so again, here Jesus, he's pointing us, we see in this example, he's pointing us to a spiritual nourishment that comes from doing the will of the Father and finishing his work. That's what Jesus is about. That's what he's saying, what his nourishment is to be obedient to what God has instructed him, his Father. You see, listen to this, church. Obedience is not optional for spiritual growth. It's essential. Obedience is not optional for spiritual growth. It is essential. If you're in a life group, great. If you haven't joined one, join one. You know, learn, get taught, be taught. take a class, you know, study. I know some of our groups are studying a book of the Bible. Those things are good, and those are essential, and they're needed. And I say this all the time because I have to feel like I have to give a disclaimer, because if somebody takes this out of context and runs with it, those things are all needed. But if it never translates to actual doing or obedience, you do not need to sign up for another class. Because what we're doing is we're thinking by staying busy and we're just learning all the time, but we never actually do it. We're never actually obedient to what the Word of God says. Listen, you do not need a degree in theology to understand when Jesus says, go therefore into all the world, proclaiming the good news. You can look at it in the Greek. You can look at it in whatever language you want to. It's pretty clear. But we want to stop, right? We want to stop and we want to slow down. Because why? Because it scares us. It scares a lot of people. But church, I'm telling you this morning, we have to come back to this place. We have to come to this place of obedience. You know why? Because that was this whole issue when we saw all the time in the wilderness. They kept taking laps. What should have been a few weeks took 40 years in the desert. Why? Because they failed to get it. They failed to be obedient. And so God is calling us to obedience. 1 Samuel, verse 15, Samuel, the prophet, he says this, he writes, 15, verse 22, he says, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? And then he says, listen, with an exclamation point, listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. God is not impressed with all the things that we do. Like, Lord, look at me, look at me. He's impressed with a heart that is submitted to him and will step out, and we will be willing to go to those places that maybe aren't comfortable to us. We'll be willing to step into conversations where it may not be the most enjoyable thing. We're willing to be obedient to God for the sake of being obedient. Let's go on just a little bit further and kind of round this out this morning. In John chapter 4, continuing back in at verse 35. So here he is. He's speaking to the disciples. And he says, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest. Third point this morning is this, is that the time is now to step into the harvest fields. Sorry, you guys may not have heard me. The time is now to step into the harvest fields. If you're waiting for a sign from God, this is it, okay? The time is now. Look around us. If we do not step in, if we are the church. You know what the church, the other word for the church is? We are the body of Christ. We have been placed where we are to be on mission, to share the good news. Don't answer this. This is rhetorical. What else is more important than that? If I stand here and I'm honest with you, I can think of a lot of super important things in my life right now. A lot. nothing is more important than sharing the gospel, than getting the good news out to those that are lost and dying. See, in this moment, while they're sitting there and Jesus is saying this to his disciples, he's challenging them to what? Lift their eyes and recognize that the harvest is ready. Guess who the harvest is right in front of him in this moment? I've already said it. Do you know who it is? No, hold on. The Samaritans. The ones they cannot stand. You see how awesome? I mean, this is incredible. You want to talk about a teaching moment? This is why Jesus is saying this, right? Because all the people, remember, they're coming, they're flowing out of the village, right? They're coming out to see. So just get that picture. You know, they're up on this hill where this well is. Jesus is sitting there while the woman ran back. Jesus is having this moment with the disciples. And so literally, while he's talking to them, you know, I can just see him like kind of go like this. And they turn and look, and they see all these people who they would never talk to coming at them. And he says, the harvest is ready now. I could almost do a Holy Spirit high kick right now. I just... No, you don't. You don't want to, nobody wants to see that. These are new stretchy jeans, but maybe we'll see. Not now. I'm excited because I'm excited is because I think some of you might be getting it. That's why I'm excited. Some of us are getting it. Because we're seeing where we're supposed to go, and it's not just the people that we like. That's nice. But we're supposed to go to the ones that God sends us to. And be careful. I'm going to give you the disclaimer before you say, oh, Lord, don't send me to those, or God, I would never talk to those people. Some of you know. That's probably when the Lord chuckles. He's like, oh, well, guess where I'm going to send you. You see, God was at work in the Samaritans long before they arrived, before the disciples were there. Other people, that's what he's saying. And their role in that moment, just like ours when the Lord speaks to us, is simply to step out in obedience and faith. This is what Jesus did when it said he must go. When we started last week and it said that he must go through Samaria, that means he was stepping out in obedience. And the Lord he speaks to our hearts. He gives us by his Holy Spirit. He speaks to us. He nudges us. We know what we should do. And listen, it's not about, you know, if it's whatever it is, it's not about the response from the other person or the situation. It's about our heart and being faithful. There have been times I've stepped out and, you know, it just felt like it blew up, or there was no like big climactic moment. It just kind of like, psh. But then on the other side of that, oftentimes I can sense that, but the Lord is pleased. Why? Because I did what I believe he was telling me to. Let me ask you a question. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, we had two of our boys that have learned to drive, you know, not long ago. Sorry, Noah. And actually, Noah was his brother who's gone far away and probably not watching this, so I can just talk about him. Yeah, there was a few moments, you know, where I think, weren't you with us the time? Yes, you were. I mean, it's really cool, like going into oncoming traffic when it's coming at you, right? It was minor miscue on his part, right? But we're still here. I'm not going to let one of my sons, oh, hey, I got my permit, or hey, I got my license, until they have kind of shown that they can handle that responsibility, right? Typically going in the direction where cars are coming at you, that's bad. That's not good. Let's not do that. And so once you demonstrate that, you know, okay, you get the idea, then we entrust them with like, okay, go ahead by yourself, you know, go to the store, you know, kind of a short trip and come back. Because what are we doing? We're testing. We're watching. Both obedience, but then how they, you know, are they responding? Are they handling that well? And that's really what our the way our life and the way our walk looks is because the Lord wants to entrust us with much. But it's going to start with the small things. And if you're like me, I don't like the small things. I want the big thing, right? Give me the big thing. I'm really good at that. No, because most of the time, those small things are what lead to that big thing. And so where in your life this morning, and that's really what I would like us to dial in as I prepare to close this morning, is what are the small things maybe that God is calling you to that maybe you've overlooked? Maybe you've kind of stepped past. You see, in Matthew, very, very familiar passage here as Jesus is speaking in Matthew 9, verses 37, 38. He tells his disciples, he said this, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." The harvest is abundant. I think we can all agree with that. People need Jesus. And they're trying every single other thing, and they cannot find peace. They cannot find hope. I'll tell you, I mean, I couldn't look at all the stuff that's going on in our world right now if I did not have the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. If I did not have the assurance that, you know what, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. But God is still God. The God that I serve is still Lord over all. He's still bringing us through. He has not abandoned me. The scene where the disciples, you know, at the end of Jesus' time on earth, after his resurrection, and he's about to ascend into heaven, in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, it says, they kept asking Jesus this. He says, Lord, they asked him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Right? I mean, this is kind of the pinnacle moment. He's risen from the dead. You know, they've done everything. And they're like, this is what their hope has been all along, right? This physical release, this physical moment of triumph. And he replies, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. Okay, not probably the answer they were looking for, right? Why? Because they wanted that victory, right? Here. But it wasn't time. So what does Jesus say? He says, but, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then he ascended to heaven. He ascended to heaven, and they were not freed from their physical oppression. But instead, they were promised the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit was going to come. And then they would be his witnesses. You see, even in that moment, as the Lord ascended, and they were focused, and their eyes were still somewhat fixed on the physical, but God does not operate in that currency. More so, he operates in the currency of the spiritual, because that's what produces what we see. That's the physical part we see. So God is at work in ways that we cannot imagine. When he empowers us by his Spirit, is to carry out the work that he has set before us. You see, knowing Jesus, it should always be moving us outward. The life that we have, the walk, that our spiritual walk with the Lord should be producing things in the physical that we can see. Our families, you know, people coming to know the Lord. us being able to walk in grace, us being able to extend forgiveness even when perhaps by our measure it's not deserved. Church, the Lord is calling us to himself. The Lord is calling us to obedience because the Lord wants to call us to the world, that we can impact lives and we can see lives changed. It's the JV time is coming to an end. Do you understand that? That's what we're seeing right now in the world. I don't know if you have that sense yet, but it is clear as day to me what's coming. I'm talking about what's coming here in America as well. It's coming. What we have known, I probably in this generation, we are going to see things change and shift. And you will see an aggression towards the church like you have never seen. I'm telling you, it is. And that's not to scare you. That's not to like somehow try to hype this moment. That's the reality. And so now is the time that we get in. Now is the time that we are walking close with the Lord. Why? Because he is looking. He desires to use us in such a powerful way. And we're going to need that. We're going to need that. Just a couple questions this morning to just, as we closed, if you would just bow your heads, and I just want you just to maybe think about these, and then I'm going to pray. First question is, who might God be calling you to see differently this morning? Maybe there's someone in your world, in your workplace, in your family, a neighbor. Is there someone that maybe God is stirring your heart to see them differently, to see the value they have, that he loves them? Another question to consider this morning is this, is where in your life right now is obedience required rather than observation? Where is obedience required in your life rather than simply observing? Where is the Lord calling you to action? And the last question I want to leave with you this morning is this: what harvest field are you overlooking this morning? Where is the harvest field that the Lord is calling you to? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for this message. Lord Jesus, we recognize that we are being called, that we are being called to the harvest fields. Lord, for the person sitting here this morning that doesn't know you, that has yet to make that profession of faith, Lord, that you are Lord over all, that they need you, that they are sinner, just like all of us, and that we desperately need saving. God, I pray for that person if they're in this place. If you're in this place this morning or watching online, let today be the day that you profess Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. And if you do that, tell somebody, tell me, tell one of the pastors. For some of us here in this place, we recognize the places maybe we've fallen short of, the places that we've maybe been disobedient. Lord Jesus, I pray for those here that fall into that category that need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe they need to ask someone else for forgiveness. And Lord, my prayer this morning is that would be quick. That we wouldn't sit on that we wouldn't wait. Why? Because the enemy will come in and just lessen that. It won't seem like a big deal. But in this moment, I pray that we would be stirred to action. And finally, Lord, the ones here in this place today that are walking close to you, that are in a season where you are truly moving and stirring their hearts, where they're walking in faith and obedience, Lord God, I pray that upon them, Lord, you would pour out just more of your Spirit, that you would open up more doors, and God, that you would continue to use them mightily. Lord Jesus, we want to be a church, Lord God, that is not just simply a gathering place, but that is that we are a people, Lord God, of action, and that we are obeying, Lord, our marching orders. Lord Jesus, I just want to see people come to know you as Lord and Savior. God, is the best thing to witness and to see the change in somebody when you step into their lives and you save them. So Lord, we pray for souls. Lord, I pray that that would be the echo of every person in this room. God, give us just one more. Give us one. Give us two. Give us three. Whatever it is, Lord God. And may we be found obedient, Lord, to your calling. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you stand?